We've got him back with us on the line now, rocket scientist Chester Richards, to talk about his career, the good, the bad and the ugly of experimenting in rocket science. His book is From the Potato to Star Trek and Beyond. Having had a number of odd brushes with death, Chester has always boldly gone where few have dared. Welcome to the show, Chester.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. And what a great title for your book.
Well, that was my editor that picked that title. Apparently, it works very well. It's got a lot of comment.
Definitely, yes, it's fantastic. So what's the significance of the potato, first of all?
Well, I cannot tell you. My publisher says we need to leave that as a mystery so that people will be intrigued with the book and want to read it.
Okay.
But I will say this about it. It had to do with a very dangerous episode early in my life, and I have significant scars as a result of it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Scars from a potato incident.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I definitely am intrigued. It worked. So I have to ask you about being a rocket scientist. I assume that means you're very, very clever, because people always use the phrase, oh, it's not rocket science, suggesting that rocket science is really, really difficult.
Yeah, rocket science is really difficult. I have to tell you, it's been my privilege to work with the real, honest-to-God rocket scientists. I'm sort of qualified because I've worked on that in those kinds of projects. But I've had the privilege of working alongside the guys that built the engines for the moonshots for the Apollo rocket system, and also designed and built the engines for the space shuttle. So, you know, there's rocket scientists and there's rocket scientists, and I look up to those guys as the real thing.
Yeah.
And really extraordinary experience working with those people.
Yeah. So what kind of thing were you doing with regards to rocket science then?
Well, my background is physics and engineering both. And so I was sort of on the edge of trying to understand how different physical principles operate in the engineering world. So I did a lot of equations, worked on a number of projects, actually did design an instrument that flew into space once, so that was an interesting experience as well. But, I've just kind of done stuff all over the map in terms of modern technology.
Amazing. So tell us about what you designed that went into space. That's incredible.
Well, it was an instrument that was designed to measure what happens when a vehicle re-enters at a high speed into the atmosphere from space. And we had to do some very special and difficult measurements during that re-entry process. And my instrument was actually the instrument that did the measurements. It was a successful program. You can read about it. It's in the book.
And what did it look like, this instrument?
Well, it was a little gold box about the size of a little bit bigger than a postage stamp.
Wow. Tiny little thing.
Yeah. Well, there was more to it than that.
Yeah.
Again, some of the specifics, not all of the specifics, but some of them are described in the book.
Yeah. But amazing that something so small can accomplish so much.
Well, it was doing special kinds of measurements of the environment.
Yeah, wow. So with regards to Star Trek then, you and a friend of yours, Judy Burns, got together and wrote a script for one of the most iconic episodes of the original series. How did that come about?
Well, Judy and I had been students together at the university, and I was still a graduate student. She had graduated, and she had written a speculative script for Star Trek, but it didn't go anywhere because the show went off the air after the second year. And fortunately, we were able to get, I wasn't involved, but people were able to get the show back on the air for the third season. So Judy and I were kicking around ideas for a possible script for the third season, and I came up with an interesting idea that she liked a lot, so she suggested that we collaborate on that. And she had some connections that ultimately led the script to being read at Star Trek, which is a little unusual. And we were invited to go up for a story conference, and we were told then that they were going to buy our script. But some minor changes. Well, the minor changes led to a completely new story, and we had to write a completely new script in 1 week flat. We did that, and that's where the idea for the Tholian Web actually came out of that rewrite process.
And what was it like seeing your script come to life on screen?
Well, the neighborhood gathered in front of the television set, and we all had popcorn.
How lovely. So a great memory then.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And this book is full of great memories, isn't it? You wanted to kind of put together some wonderful stories throughout your life, inspired by the sad passing of the love of your life.
Yes, that's right. Well, I started writing the stories I was trying to recover from the depression that I had when my wife died. And so I had material that I had gathered through my journals on my various adventures prior to that. And, of course, my wife, Sarah, was familiar with a lot of the stories that I had to tell. But I just wanted to start writing this stuff down, and I found that it gave me a great deal of comfort and helped me rebuild my life after that terrible tragedy. And I just kept writing, and I'm still doing it. I'm still writing stories. It turns out I've had a very unusual life. I've been places and done things that most people don't get a chance to do and see, and I've met some of the most wonderful, most interesting people along the way. So I've written quite a bit about the people that I've run into and what remarkable characters they are.
Can you give us an example of a remarkable character?
Yeah. Well, there's a famous movie that was very popular a couple of years ago called Ford versus Ferrari. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah.
But it was very popular here in the United States. And in that movie, they talk about a little bit about an engine that just absolutely would not quit. Well, the guy that designed that engine was a colleague of mine. I called him Uncle Bob. He actually liked that name. That was Bob Pons. And he was the person that built that engine. So I talk a little bit about him in the book as well. There's a story about him and his experiences that ultimately led to the development of that particular engine.
Brilliant. And one of the things you talk about and you really believe is how and why we should all embrace adventure. Why do you say that?
Well, you know, life is full of problems, okay? We all get involved in hassles, and we all have stressful events. Now, there's two ways you can approach a stressful event. You can either say, oh, my goodness, it's overwhelming, I can't handle it. Or you can say, well, that's interesting. That was an interesting adventure. What did I learn from it? I like to take the positive point of view. I've been through some fairly tough experiences, as almost everybody goes through. Of course, losing my wife was the worst of them, but I've had other ones that were fairly dramatic. And you can look at those things and say, my goodness gracious, how could I possibly get on with my life? Or you could look at it and say, well, that was an interesting experience. What did I learn from it? And I tend to take that second point of view, the positive point of view. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very healthy way of approaching of what is difficult for everyone, which is just getting through life.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's not always easy, though, is it, when you go through something really, really tough, like losing someone you love? It's hard to kind of just shake it off and and carry on as normal.
Well, it takes years. I mean, the mourning period is usually given as a year. My guess is the real mourning period is about 2 to 3 years, and and you have to rebuild your life. You have to. It's a completely different world that you're living in after you recover from that. If you ever do recover, not everybody does recover from that kind of tragedy.
Yeah. Another thing you mention in the book, which sounds kind of scary, is nature wants to kill you.
Well,
explain.
Yeah, let me put it a little bit more mildly. Nature doesn't care whether you live or die.
Okay, yeah.
So when you go out in nature, you better pay attention to what nature's trying to tell you. Otherwise, you can get into really serious trouble and really quick, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so that I was going to ask you what you mean by that and what we can take from that, but that's what you're saying. It's just kind of you need to be aware.
You have responsibility for staying alive. Nature does not have that responsibility for you. Mm. And you can get into situations that are really perilous really quick. I can remember when I was a little kid being on the very, very edge of not making it and somehow managed to pull through. But, you have to be careful. The world is what it is. It's neither friendly nor unfriendly, but it is dangerous, and you have to recognize the dangers and make allowances for those.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about your brushes with death. Can you tell us about one of them? As we're talking about death, you know, let's stick with it for a while.
I'd rather not do that. There are a couple of maybe three or four adventures in the book where I talk about being in the extremity. For example, in the Grand Canyon, there's a rapid called Lava Falls, which is a very, very dangerous rapid. And I've had the experience of having had to swim that rapid twice, which I managed to get through it okay. But people don't necessarily live through that experience in that particular location. Gosh. And I talk about that in the book.
Yeah. Well done you. I'm glad you did.
Well, I'm glad I'm here to talk with you.
Exactly. Me too. Well, we look forward to finding out more about the potato and your very interesting life. If people want to, then they must read the book. It's called From the Potato to Star Trek and Beyond, Memoirs of a Rocket Scientist.
Yes, and let me say that every one of the stories is independent. You can read them in any order. They're all true stories, and I hope that they're entertaining when people find them then interesting and entertaining as well.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, the book is available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Chester L. Richards, who we've been chatting with. Chester, thanks so much for joining us, and you take care.
Thank you so much for having me.